You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell in for Veronica Rickert. Looking back on the year in culture, young adult fiction continues to be a hot commodity. Books like The Hunger Games series, Divergent, and The Fault in Our Stars made the jump from bestseller lists to movie theaters. And the latest installment in the Hunger Games series showed up as the number two movie of the year in ticket sales.
So the books and the movies based on them are selling, but are they changing our reading habits? Especially for the younger audience, are they building a new generation of voracious readers? Does it matter if we're reading for quality or quantity? To help us untangle some of these questions, we've got Madge Clace with us now. She's an Emerita Assistant Professor of Library and Information Sciences at UW-Madison. She's worked in libraries and schools with younger readers. Madge, thanks a lot for joining us.
Well, thank you, Rob. I'm happy to be here.
Well, to start things off, do we have that right? Is young adult fiction really a big deal in the world of reading right now?
Very much so. I think both for teens and for adults. I think the whole definition of what young adult is changing to some degree because a lot of adults are reading these books that are very popular, such as The Hunger Games or Divergent. So yes, I would say very much. It's both series books and what are so-called good literature books. If you go to Barnes & Noble, for example, you'll see an entire section that's devoted to teen fiction now that is very prominent in the bookstores.
Now, in your experience, when you see, say, a teen reader reading one of these big-name books, say, A Hunger Games or Divergent, as you just mentioned, does that seem, when they're done with the big name, to lead them to go on and want to read other stuff, too?
Yes, indeed. I think particularly certain kinds of fiction that are very popular right now, some of which have been popular for a while. I think we could say it started with Harry Potter. Fantasy continues to be huge. And the three last Harry Potter books, which are relatively dark, are definitely aimed more at a teen audience. You also see dystopian fiction, which is a worrying about a more difficult future like Hunger Games. I've had students come asking me often for something similar, something like that. The Twilight series by Stephanie Myers, which was also made into at least a couple movies, is also vampire stories. It has been, that continues to be popular, students looking for books like that. So sometimes it has to do with the genre or the particular kind of plot that's involved. And sometimes it will be that students just would like something else by the same author, for example.
So what are strategies for, say, parents or teachers or librarians to harness this wave and get people reading more and maybe better?
Oh, that's a good question. I think as I look at the research for decades now, it's been clear that when adults are reading in the home, the kids are more likely to be reading. Adults taking kids to bookstores, taking them to libraries, helping them pick out books, simply demonstrating that reading is fun. So that's one way to do it. I think what we're finding a lot is that in the digital media, that students are, teens, not just students, but in general, the digital media can actually spark reading. I turned up a study from Scholastic Publishing. This was 2008, their Kids and Family Reading Report. Nearly 2 in 3 of 9 to 17-year-olds surveyed had extended their reading experience via the Internet, such as looking at finding books on the Internet that they wanted to read, looking at blogs, looking at fan fiction. And it says that high-frequency Internet users are more likely to read books for fun every day. So the Internet is not necessarily getting in the way of reading. Teachers and librarians need to be well-versed themselves. My experience, which is also fairly traditional, is that being able to enthusiastically talk a book to either an individual student or to a class or a group encourages students to read, kids to read. If you've been passionate about a book, then they often want to pick it up. And there are lots of ways now that we reach kids through Internet sites that are created by libraries where students can post their own book reviews, or they can look up books, they can express opinions. opinions or even display their own work that might be related to books.
That's interesting. So kind of harnessing a peer-to-peer thing, getting kids to become critics themselves and maybe share their favorites with others?
Oh, very much so. And certainly what I have often seen is the word of mouth on particular books. It's a combination of things. I think what we need to be a little bit, I wouldn't say concerned about, but I think people need to be aware that since the mid-90s, a lot of books have started to be created by what are called book packagers, so that a publisher will maybe even go to a big chain bookstore like Barnes & Noble for ideas about cover art, what they think are going to will sell. And they often enlist popular adult authors like James Patterson to create series for kids, and which is not necessarily a bad thing, but that's how kids often hear about books, is they see it as store, one student picks one up, and then they word of mouth, they pass it on. And a lot of studies show that the more you read, the better you get at reading. And so we're not so concerned about the quality, at least initially. Kids can be reading magazines, comic books on the internet, or some of these series books that are formula fiction, mm-hmm. That don't necessarily have deeply developed characters or rich settings or style, but they still are very plot-driven and exciting. And that keeps kids reading, and that reading practice actually results in better reading skills. And also, studies have shown that no matter what they read, students who do read regularly for pleasure score higher on reading tests.
So getting people reading, regardless of quality, at least at first, is the key. But I think a lot of parents, teachers, probably kids themselves might be interested in leveling up, reading something a little more rich and fulfilling. What kind of books have been successful in the YA realm, the young adult realm, at meeting those needs?
Well, I think it's been interesting to see. I mean, I think there's been a lot of concern about some of these sort of sensational series like Gossip Girls and Pretty Little Liars or some of these things where values might be of concern. But at the same time, there's been a real resurgence in the quality of high literary quality since the 1990s and the development of a lot of awards for teen fiction. That have attracted the attention of publishers and multimedia companies, so that some of the books, for instance, Fault in Our Stars, which was a recent movie, is also of high literary quality. John Green, the author, has won a number of prestigious awards, and that helps students, I think, if they're encouraged, just like Harry Potter, which was of high literary quality as well. Part of it is sort of the buzz around it, the event around it. If it is something of relatively high quality, students are going to give it a try. And if they've liked it, then they're more willing to move on to something else. I think it's always a little problematic because if a teacher, librarian, parent says, read this, it's a good book, students don't necessarily want to do that.
That sounds educational, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I think it's not all bad that some of this gets picked up by the media and some of these books are promoted because that kind of buzz will get kids reading. I do think, though, a successful teacher, an effective teacher or a librarian can point out to students. They can present books in such a way that they begin to feel and understand some of the complex issues and the struggles of the characters in a way that they might not do on their own. And that can also get students, or teens in general, interested in exploring or pushing themselves a little harder. I think if it's well done, once again, going back to Harry Potter, I think kids push themselves to read and understand a book just because everyone else was reading it, and it was important to them.
We've talked about some of the big names that are in bestseller lists and things like that. Are there efforts in YA fiction, are there good examples, reaching out to diverse audiences, multicultural audiences?
Oh, very much so. I think it's interesting, and I'm not sure that we as a public in general understand the dramatic increase in both the teen population over the last decade, or so, as well as changes in the immigration laws in the 1980s, resulted in a huge influx of immigrants from non-English-speaking areas of the world. And we have really many more people of color in this country. And what we found, studies have shown, is that students who can read books where they see themselves, where they can, even if it's just a cover art or something that speaks to their culture, they become more avid readers. And we've had, I would say, probably at this point, the most distinguished and the longest history would be African-American literature that has really flourished beginning in the 1970s, and Coretta Scott King Award that was developed to honor high-quality African-American authors has really spurred terrific growth in this. Unfortunately, we just lost one of our most distinguished authors named Walter Dean Myers, who has written a range of books from what we would consider middle school or the very low end of YA, books that appeal to, say, 12 and 13-year-olds, as well as something like Fallen Angels, which about the Vietnam War, which really is very appealing to adults as well. The National Book Award was just given to Jacqueline Woodson, who's an African-American author who's been writing for teens for many years, and she just wrote a memoir called Brown Girl Dreaming, which has received a lot of positive press. So, but we're also seeing a development, lots of Asian Americans, which is, of course, lots of different cultures and languages. Perhaps the most well-known one might be American-born Chinese by an author artist named Jean Luen Yang, and that is a graphic novel, which won a teen award. It was a finalist for the National Book Award. And kids, my experience has been that graphic novels that look like comic books are hugely popular with teens. And now we're seeing a real quality in terms of both the art and the storyline and the character development.
We're talking to Madge Clace from UW-Madison about the appeal of young adult fiction and the impact it's having on reading habits.
And we'd like to hear from you, too. If you're a reader, is there a book or a series that turned you into a big reader, that left you wanting more? Or perhaps you're a parent, a teacher, or a librarian. What have been your success stories in getting kids to read more, and what books really capture their attention? Give us a call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about the popularity of young adult fiction, from The Hunger Games to The Fault in Our Stars and beyond, and what it means for the future of reading.
And we'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite young adult book or series that you'd like to share with everyone else? And is there a book that turned you into a reader at some point in your life that really boosted your love of reading, or something that maybe as a parent or teacher or librarian that you think is a proven winner that really gets tweens and teens reading? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post at the Central Time Facebook page. We have Madge Clace with us. She studies these issues. We'll be teaching a class on related issues at UW-Madison. And Madge, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of these young adult books and series have become movies. Do those movies get kids reading the books, or is there a sense that, I've seen the movie, don't need to read the book now?
Oh, I think they still like to read the books. I think there is still that interest in reading the books. In fact, a lot of times when the hype is out there, sometimes if they know it's coming up, particularly, they want to read the book. I don't think that movies or having a movie is a substitute for wanting to read the book. We're finding, literacy is still an issue with adolescents. Some kids are much better readers than others. So the development of audiobooks, for example, is often a way that students get interested or are able to read along with a class if they're challenged with the actual reading of the book. Listening to a book can be a good alternative and a gateway to actually reading the book as well. So I don't think that it depends on the individual child, I think, to some degree, whether they want to read the book after the movie has come out. But it definitely, the media, lots of the advertising promotion that comes out of bookstores related to movies, sometimes these show up as miniseries on television, all those spur some interest in the book and in reading the books. But I don't think it's exclusive to that. We have, you know, a lot of really advanced readers who are looking for challenging stories, and it's always a question where they want to actually read an adult book. By the time they're in high school, they're interested in adult literature, and that's traditionally what's been taught at high school, really, is the so-called classics. But now we're finding more of these high-quality teen books being introduced into the curriculum.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Gage on the line in Portage. Gage, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You've got some books to share with us, I think.
Yeah, there is an author, a very well-known author, named Gary Paulson, that I really enjoyed as a child in about sixth and seventh grade, and one book in particular that got me really into science fiction, and that book is the Transol Saga.
So Gary Paulson, Gage, thanks a lot. That's about my kid's age, and I want to turn him into science fiction readers, so I might give that a shot. Madge, I heard you nod over the phone there,
yes.
I think.
Yes, I was going to say he's a wonderful author. One of the things I like about Gary Paulson is that he appeals to the younger end, once again defining YA can be challenging. For example, a sixth grader who is just turning 12, interests, abilities, and so on are different than an eighth grader, for example. And Gary Paulson is a really good gateway author into some of the older books. He's won what's called the Margaret A. Edwards Award for a lifetime achievement in the field. And his book on survival called Hatchet is often taught in school curricula. And then I find when students have a chance exposure to that, they come looking for many of his other titles, of which there are many. So he is an excellent example of high-quality, engaging teen author.
Gage, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Dan in Wausau now. Dan, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. The one that got me started when I was young was Sterling North with his book Rascal. Mm. And the reason was, growing up in rural Wisconsin, I could kind of identify with parts of it. But the historical part is what I really enjoyed the most, because it's set in 1918. And it kind of exposed you to what life was like back then. And it moved me forward to Michener novels, because I just love anything that has historical background to it. And James Michener really captures that with all of his novels, too.
Dan, thank you so much for sharing that story. So these books, maybe intended for younger audiences, can help us figure out what we want to read. And then we move on into the adult-targeted books, Madge.
Oh, absolutely. I think I would find some students reading sort of historical fiction romance, and then starting to look for things like Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. And by eighth grade, they might have heard that was an excellent book, and they want to move into some of the classics. There's a lot of tastes kind of involved in that as well. And I think sometimes we forget that not everybody wants to just read the latest big title or series, but in fact, a book like Sterling North's book, which has been around quite a long time, still has wide appeal. So it's very nice to hear that, because moving from that to James Michener, who was quite a best-selling author, adult author, several decades ago.
Time for one more quick call from Tammy in Onalaska. Tammy, hi.
Hi. I appreciate the last comment that you made regarding transitioning from the tween to teen and adult. I'm a homeschool mom. I've graduated three kids, and I have a fourth one in high school right now. And we really found that the current fiction that's offered, what you're considering the books for tweens and so forth, really is kind of like candy. It has a lot of initial wow factor and energy, but in the long run, there isn't any substance.
Tammy, thanks a lot for that call. Madge, just a few moments left. Can you leave us with a favorite that's out there now that might up the substance a little in the YA, the young adult world?
Well, for older teens, I just read recently a book by a new author who's becoming quite prolific, someone named Rainbow Rowell. and it's about an unusual romance, and it's a, sort of a problem novel as well. From it's set in the 1980s. It's called Eleanor and Park. And it's well-developed characters, very interesting characters. There's a certain amount of suspense. There's also a troubled family involved.
Sounds like a great suggestion, Madge, and we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
That's Madge Clace. She's Assistant Professor Emerita of Library and Information Sciences at UW-Madison.